Now, how many of you can quote John 3:16? You know what John 3:16 says? Well, I know that my wife does because she was raised in this church. Actually, we were married 40 years ago, but not in this building. It's in the museum building. And even on the wall today in the office, I have the pictures of the wonderful, dear wife that has, well, she has put up with me for 40 years. So you know that she is very special. And I can say that we're grateful that we have a wonderful extended family who are living for the Lord. In fact, we just figured out this morning, since my son, André, good French name meaning Andrew, and his wife, they've moved down to Chesterfield Township because he teaches down in that area. And now they are going to the church where it says here, you're going to have your evening service. Well, there are many, many connections over the years. When I look out, I think of, well, Alice. My, oh my. How many years? It's been more than 40 years, Alice, that we've known each other. And then, you know, I can look and I can... I saw Mr. Reeves out here in the hall. And I can think, of course, of Virgil being in France with us 35 years ago. That's where he met Lois at that time. And I think it was a wonderful introduction that you gave, Ron, because you and Amy have so served honorably in that part of the world. I can tell you today that there are 8 radio stations in Burkina Faso. And I can tell you that they broadcast, how many ministries do you know that broadcast to 2.5 million people every day? And I can tell you that they have been equipped to do that through the various connections and different missions from this part of the world, whether it be the solar-powered radio receivers, or whether it be HCJB transmitters, or whether it be our connections in France who taught them how to broadcast. Some of you remember when Etienne was here 1.5 years ago. I have the pictures in the scrapbook in the back. But I get emails continually. The last email, well, I haven't written to you for a month because I was out in a village where we just started a new church. Unbelievable. They had 40 decisions for Christ, and they started a new church. If you get that history that Jean-Pierre sent, it's out on the table in the back of the medical ministries over the years. They have recorded some 650 decisions for Christ, and every year we will start at least one new church. Now, the last team that was with us, and some of you, Alice, mentioned this morning about how Diana, our secretary in the office, came down and spoke to you ladies, bless your hearts. And she was a part of that team. Well, some of you probably know that our secretary, she was one of the kids that sang in the chorale that I directed, you know, 42 plus years ago. I'm not supposed to say that. Well, we're all getting older every day. Isn't it wonderful that some had a head start? Now, just think of Jerry and Betty. They're on the board now, too, and they come up every month, bless their hearts, and they help us with our mailings. And all the people that get the mailings, they are people who have been involved in some way over the years. We just sent out or preparing a mailing with that news from Jean-Pierre. Over 200 people have been personally involved mostly in medical ministry things and teaching ministry things, and of course the building of the school in Mali. Now this summer, because one of the good board members, Ron Mullins, was publicizing the summer, anytime he said you want to go, well, the next trip is this summer. You might know well some of the people who will be on the team. Bob Mattson. Bob is a Gideon. Bob is a retired school teacher. Bob lives up in Marysville. He's been with us twice overseas already, and he'll be on the team building or continuing the construction of the Hope School. There are 550 students at that school today. And then some of you know, does anybody know Charles Wynn? Out at the Columbus Baptist Church? Well, Charles and his wife have supported us for years, and their grandson, Charles McHugh, is also going to be on the team. He is 18. So we are very thrilled and always, of course, anxious as people give, because this is a part of the world that historically has not been reached for Christ. Oh, about 10 years ago, I had the privilege, and they introduced him at the time, of going to a funeral, and this man was alleged to be the first known believer in Burkina Faso. And today, there are literally, I could even say, millions of people in Burkina that know the Lord. It is absolutely amazing when you see churches, the buildings that they historically haven't even had, when ours are not even half full, most of them in American churches, and they are just jammed. And there are people standing around listening, trying to get in. It is absolutely wonderful. And here in this passage, the Lord calls us to sing a new song. Now you know that when you go into the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, for example, you find there represented around the throne of God people from every kindred, tongue, and nation. And you know, in the scriptures, the Bible always makes the distinctions, unlike many of them that we make here, although I did make reference to some this morning in my introduction. We have people from geographic areas, but most of them, as we think, because we're European Americans, we think, well, if you're German, you speak German. Or if you're French, you speak French. And you know, but that's not how the way it is in most of the world. I sometimes even correct people because they refer to China, they speak Chinese, and I have to point out to them that no, there's at least three major languages that dominate, and a third of the world's people historically have been from China. And we are so thankful for the historical roots and connections for our wonderful daughter. She's so sweet and helping, and she's just a blessing to us. Now she's giving me a funny face because she doesn't want me to say any more. But truly she is, and when you think that in these parts of the world, the sinful practices that have been done historically, if you read, for example, in the newsletter that Jean-Pierre just sent, he talks about how the Christians were first stoned when we had medical teams going out into the villages 12 years ago, and how today they're accepted. And people don't realize that, for example, in Islam, there are multiple wives. So there isn't one special woman. And people don't realize that in China they are limiting the families to one per couple, and that usually they kill the daughters. So we are extremely grateful that Aaliyah's family put her in a box and laid her before the orphanage gate. And we are extremely thankful that one of our doctors who was with us in Burkina Faso dedicated her life to serve the Lord around the world. And she came back and told the story of what was happening in China. And thanks to her and her financial help even, we were able to be blessed. And we are grateful today that we have two grandchildren from West Africa and one from South Korea. Well, we should sing a new song. And sing all the earth, no exceptions. We all know John 3:16. And we know the words of Jesus. Certainly in this church, we know Jesus' words were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that we were to declare his glory among the nations. Now in this particular chapter, you have the nations, you have the earth, you have all peoples, you have all of the different references to include everyone. Because we have to say that in the biblical thinking, there are no exceptions. Now we make all kinds of exceptions and we do all kinds of political things and we do all kinds of, oh my goodness sakes, when I hear some of it, my heart is just saddened. We categorize some people all in that group, or all in that group, or all in this group. And there are all kinds of particulars, but the Bible speaks in terms of absolutes. When we give the plan of salvation, we can clearly say there are no distinctions. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who do you know hasn't? Is it the president? Is it our political leaders? Is it the judges? No, they are sinners too. But what does God go by when we stand before him? How are we going to be judged? He comes to judge the earth. How? Yes, in truth. And you think when you listen to the news, you're getting the truth? Sometimes they have commentators on there, they just give their opinions. I'm saying, what is this? I wanted to turn the news on to find out what was going on. The whole truth and nothing but the truth? Well, that's what we used to say when we put our hand on the Bible and I worked in the court. But they don't do that anymore. But we put our hand on the Bible and it was the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what it was. That's how the basis of our justice system was. And God comes, he judges the earth. Verse 13. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Who knows everything? Who knows everything? Do we understand the very nature of God? That God cannot tell a lie? That God does not approve of those people who do? But there is none righteous, no, not one. So if you are getting the story that somebody is telling you, that they are always telling you the truth, you know they are telling you a lie. Because no one has always spoken the truth. And we know that our Lord reigns, and that all through the Word of God, the scripture indications have been that God wants to pour His Spirit upon all peoples. If you look, for example, into Isaiah 43 and 44, if you're taking notes, I will pour my Spirit on your offspring and my descendants on your descendants. I, even I, the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. And so we talk to people about the Savior. And why did He come? And what does His name mean? In American culture today, the words that refer to God are even used as swear words. And I even hear this in speeches by people that should know better. Why did they call His name Jesus? Shall give His name Jesus, for He shall save the people from their sins. That's what the Word of God declares. So there is a very clear declaration of His character and of His person that is unlike any other God. And that was in our scripture reading. No other gods are like Him. Oh, there are many other gods. What are the gods of America? What do people here worship? All kinds of money, all kinds of materialism. Do you believe me? Now look at the economic crisis, and look at the greed, and look at people that have even committed suicide over it. That gets publicized on television too, doesn't it? But what are people living for? And the Apostle Paul wrote, and I have always had to bring this to my mind, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. And certainly over the years, we've been in the high places and we've been in the lowest of the low places. You know, these countries where we're working in West Africa historically, according to the United Nations study, the 10 poorest in the world listed among the poorest. But what brings degradation to a society? What is the destruction in a society? To solve the problems, is it being announced as a spiritual matter? Sin is always degradation. Sin is always destruction. Sin always brings death. And yes, that's the serious problem. And a lot of these things I think of as I see people even on the streets or in the restaurants or whatever. I look at these people and I say, my goodness sakes, they are in here. They're already so far overweight. And then I look at them and I realize that 60% of the American people fall into that category. And then I realize the problem in America with the family. That's to be the basic unit of society, which we have known historically, and what has happened. You realize today that in America, 60% of American children do not live with both natural parents. And who pays the price for that? Well, the political leaders will tell you that it's going to be, they'll be rescued by tax dollars. And now we are even, for those who have figured it out, taxing a couple generations later. That's not directed as a political statement, but rather as a reality. And Jesus exposed these realities. And our Word of God teaches these realities. And so Jesus, in Luke chapter 24, when he talked to his disciples, he exposed the truths beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was written in all the scriptures concerning himself. Some people don't even realize that Jesus was all the way through the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, we know that. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus talked from the scriptures, he didn't have the New Testament. Oh. The New Testament wasn't written yet. Oh. So he always talked and gave the truths, even the truths, what was the greatest commandment? That's it. Love the Lord your God, and then the second one like unto it. And some people even think that was made up by Jesus. I've even heard it preached that way. Oh my. He quoted the Old Testament scriptures. And then you go on down to verse 45, and he opened their minds that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. Well, that Christ will suffer and arise again the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name where? To all the nations. Are there any exceptions? And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 24 when his disciples asked him, well, Lord, when are you going to come back? Because a lot of people talk about that. And what was the first thing Jesus said to them? That's right. First of all, the gospel has to be preached to every people group. Now, I'm sure they don't tell you that on the news media. And honestly, the word that Jesus used is the word from which we get ethne, ethnic. And we translate it as people group because we define people groups according to their culture and language. And people here, they have a hard time identifying with that. I've made different allusions to it. But this was the melting pot, so we all benefit in having one language. Even though people don't know even the heritage, even people that live in St. Clair or in Marysville, they don't even know where those names came from, many of them that I've talked to. So we keep moving along and we keep seeing that God's plan, when we give the plan of salvation to people, what verses do we declare? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, quoting from the Old Testament, everyone, anybody can call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all. Any exceptions? Who call on his name? Anybody can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And you know what? That's what they're doing. And they have that truth and that practice many times in other parts of the world. Where is the church growing the fastest in the world? That's correct. You know that historically and probably statistically, at least the statistics that we get, thousands of people trust in their Savior every day in China. That's today. And it's what we call the house persecuted church.
They're not worshiping in great, big, beautiful buildings. Many times they're in secret. They just invite their friends over and they tell them about the Lord. And that's the way it was when we were there. I remember, oh my, I could start talking about stories. But one of the great stories in the country of Mali is the arrival of the container a month ago. You realize up to 1 million pieces of scripture in 6 different languages were delivered there a month ago. We sent them out in January. Some of you have helped pack those containers. But this one was almost exclusively literature. There were a few clothes and there were 40 different computers for our school. But we're thankful and grateful to see that people will be reading the scriptures. How shall they call on him, it says in verse 14, in whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Not all are Israelites according to the good news. Not all of them have accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? But God wants his voice and his word to go to the ends of the earth. Look at verse 18. And so in heaven someday, as we stand before the throne of God, if you look in Revelation chapter 5 and compare it with Psalms 96, you will see we are going to be singing a new song. You who are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And yes, they are all important. And so certainly we thank those of you who historically, I mentioned some of the historic connections, who historically have been a part of taking the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to those people who historically have not benefited because they haven't even known. And now today, even in the last 21 years, it was 21 years ago when we first went to Burkina Faso. It's unbelievable, isn't it? We thank the Lord that we are able to broadcast in this country that speaks 62 different languages. And we are broadcasting today in a third of those languages. Because you know, when you go to Flint, you speak a different language. When you go to Pontiac, you speak a different language. When you go to Saginaw, you know, they're all different languages. But how are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? And so that is the genius, because these people over there, honestly, many of them on our staff over there speak 5 languages. Isn't that wonderful? They grew up that way. Thank the Lord for your part in helping that all happen. And now we get to have, am I supposed to be taking the offering? I don't think so. Well, Jerry, this must be your turn. Thank you, thank you. God bless you.